Awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor Dan, for that very warm welcome. You guys can grab your seats. I am very honored and privileged to be to have been asked to come and share from the Word of God this morning. I actually wanted to start off by honoring Pastor Dan and Ebony and our senior ministers, Pastor John and Danielle, for the amazing leadership that they have over this church, for the transformation in me as a result of your preaching, your teaching, your friendship, and your mentoring. And so, church, let's give it up for our wonderful pastors this morning. We are so blessed. So good. Well, have you ever found yourself in a season or a situation where you've had to rely on God, even when the physical realm seems impossible or difficult to overcome? The title of my message this morning is Pressing Into God Always. In the early years of my life growing up in Zimbabwe, I learned a lot about pressing into God. And I put the word always into that title because, as we all know, we go through ups and downs in life. We go through highs and lows. We go through times when things are going really well and we're life's good. But we go through those challenging seasons as well when it's difficult, it's hard. And it can be easy to press into God when things are going well. But how do we go when life is throwing hurdles and obstacles and challenges and mountains at us? How do we go keep pushing on and keep moving forwards in those seasons? As I shared, I grew up in Zimbabwe, and at an early age of 6 years old, I was diagnosed with a very rare disease called Coates' disease. It was a disease that affected the vision in my right eye. And in the early stages, they thought that it was some form of cancer. And so that led me to have 9 hospitalizations, operations on my eyes, my nose, my ears. And it had a pretty big impact on my life, my early years. Thank you, Jesus, it wasn't cancer. But I did lose 95% vision in my right eye. Throughout that ordeal, I missed out on a lot of school, and that affected my confidence at school and, you know, my learning. And so throughout that ordeal, I obviously missed a fair bit of school, but I was later diagnosed with a learning difficulty, so dyslexia, and that really didn't help at all. I would go along to school 5 days a week, but then there were 2 or 3 days after school had finished, my friends were hanging out and my siblings were catching up and enjoying sports or whatever, and I was back in the classroom 2 or 3 times a week going to extra lessons. The education system in Zimbabwe was such that if you were academically smart, if you were clever and bright, you would be put into what's called the A stream, so that was the top for that year. But if you were not academically strong, if you were not bright, if you were not smart, you were put into the C stream. And for me, I found myself in the C stream for the entirety of my schooling life. I changed schools a total of 5 times throughout primary and secondary school. And amongst all that, my parents, who I'm very honored to have in the room this morning, made a very tough decision to uproot our lives in Zimbabwe as a result of economic pressure and turmoil and move 10,000 k's across the ocean to Melbourne, where we knew absolutely no one. This all happened in the first 15 years of my life, some of the most important formative years of anyone's life. And I say all this because it obviously had an impact on my life. I was led to believe a number of lies that really made me doubt my ability and my confidence in myself. I believed that I wouldn't finish school, and I was told pretty clearly by a teacher that I would never get to university. I wonder right now, what are some of the lies that you're believing in your life? What are some of the things that are holding you back from stepping into the call of God on your life? Now, I'm not saying all this to make you feel sorry for me. Obviously, that had a big impact on my life. And it was only later on in my the years of my high school and into university. And yes, I did get into university, and I didn't just scrape through. I passed in the top 15% of that year. And how I wish I could have just shoved that certificate in my teacher's face. Not really, but I just, yeah, as I said, a few years later, I began to realize that the struggles and challenges that I'd gone through in life, God had actually used to produce endurance in me and tenacity and build my character, and in turn produced hope. Perhaps the biggest challenge that you are facing right now, God is using for good and will be the making of you. So if you're taking notes this morning, my first point when it comes to pressing into God is that we rejoice in our sufferings. I came across a life-changing scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, and it will come up behind me on the screen. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What a wonderful gift the Holy Spirit is. A couple of things that really stood out to me in that scripture. The first being, rejoice in our sufferings. As I shared before, I learned a lot about giving God glory, not just when times were going good, but also in the challenging seasons. And don't get me wrong, we don't rejoice in our sufferings because we like going through pain or like being uncomfortable. No, we do it because God uses life's difficulties to build our character, to deepen our trust in God, and to give us greater confidence about the future. The other word that I really loved in this particular scripture was the word hope. We actually loved the word so much, we named our youngest daughter, her second name is Hope. And we know that the victory has already been won. And there is hope, which is the expectation that something good is going to come. We're expecting that there will be something good that has come out of the life's struggles and challenges, and that is growth, as well as something still good to come. And that scripture ends talking about the fact that we've been given the Holy Spirit. Pastor Dan preached an awesome message last Sunday on Pentecost Sunday about the Holy Spirit, who has been given to help us, to guide us, to lead us, encourage us, strengthen us, and equip us. The Holy Spirit is one of the best gifts that we have been given by God, and we're so blessed. But you might be here this morning and you might be going, well, practically, what does it look like to rejoice in our sufferings? Well, as I reflect on my story, on how I got through each of those obstacles, how I faced each of those challenges in the early years of my life, for me, I turned to people that I trusted. I turned to my wonderful parents for reassurance, and in that, we turned to the Word of God for encouragement. I prayed, I kept on praying. People were praying for me. And little by little, one step at a time, through prayer, through encouragement, and through the Word of God, was I able to persist and push through those trials, those challenges, and overcome each one of them through God's strength. And so I want to encourage you this morning. You may feel that a next step for you might be opening up to someone that you trust. Being real with them, sharing how you are going and sharing the struggles that you are going through, and committing to pray, to encourage each other, and to speak the Word of God over your situation. And as I said, for me, it was opening up and sharing with my wonderful parents. But for you, it might be parents or a trusted friend. It might be your spouse. It might be a Connect group leader or your pastor. Whatever the case is, I just encourage you to don't do it on your own. So when it comes to my second point about pressing into God this morning, it is recognizing that the source of our strength is from God. recognizing the source of our strength is from God. And so looking at the Bible, I wanted to just share a story that really resonated with me as I prepared this message. It's the story of David and Goliath. Does anyone know that story? A few of us? There was a battle happening between the Israelites and the Philistines. And on one hand, you've got David, this young shepherd boy, who wasn't even old enough for the military service. He was actually tasked with just delivering some food to his older brothers who were on the front line. And he was the young shepherd boy who had the stone and the sling. On the other hand, you've got this Philistine giant, Goliath. He was 9 foot tall. I'm 6 foot four. My dad's 6 foot seven, I think. He was 9 foot tall. He wore all the right armor, the right protection, had the spear. And none of the Israelites wanted to take Goliath on. And so David stepped forwards, put up his hand and said, "Yes, I'll do it." And he stepped forwards with his sling and his stone and no armor. And the story ends with David defeating Goliath, which is absolutely incredible, with his sling and one stone. But the Bible tells us that actually before David defeated Goliath, there were 40 days of taunting and insults hurled at David and the Israelite army before David defeated Goliath. When David stepped up and took on and wanted to take Goliath on, those insults kept on coming. I can just hear those naysayers and those cynics shouting out at David, you're too young, you're too small, you're not good enough, you're just a shepherd boy, you can't do it. Goliath even said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." And I reflect on my situation and what people made me feel in those early days, and I can just hear those people saying, "You aren't good enough. You can't do it, Steve. You're stupid. You're dumb." When I compare these two characters, physically, there was a lot of things about David not being or being small and just having a sling and a stone. And there were a lot of things in the physical realm that made it look impossible or difficult for David to actually defeat Goliath. David said to Goliath, "You come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." There was something that David knew that the Philistines didn't. And if this is the only thing that you take away from my message this morning, I want you to catch this. It's that David realized that his strength didn't come from his body, it came from God's, which is so good. And David then believed in himself. He understood who he was in God's eyes. He pressed into God and persevered and was able to defeat the giant. Absolutely incredible. And so this morning I have a question for you. Where do you get your boldness and courage from? Where did David get his boldness and courage from? Looking at David and Goliath's story, one of the things that David did before he defeated Goliath was he actually recalled and reflected on a time where God had come through for him in the past. David remembered the bears and the lions that had attacked him and his sheep when he was a shepherd. And David had fought them off with God's strength. And I love the fact that David didn't focus on the size of his giant. He focused on the size of his God. So one practical next step for you might be, as we step into this week, might be to spend some time just remembering when God has come through for us, writing down those moments, celebrating those moments, meditating on them, and thanking God for coming through for us. So today I've shared two key points about pressing into God always. The first, to rejoice in our sufferings. The second, to recognize that the source of our strength is from God. And so as I finish this morning, I would love for each of us to just think about what our next step might be out of this talk. How can you continue to press into God and persevere through a season that is challenging? Maybe it might be to open up to someone, to be real with them, to share the struggles and challenges that you are facing. or for someone else, it may be to set aside that half an hour just to recall and reflect on the times where God has come through for you. As I reflect on my story, my personal journey, on how I persevered through those tough times, for me, it really did begin with a personal relationship with Jesus. And for you this morning, you may not be in a personal relationship, but we would love to give you an opportunity a bit later on in the service this morning. But as I finish, I just want to encourage you to continue to press into God, even if the physical realm makes it look impossible or difficult to overcome. And so I hope that's been encouraging. I would love to just quickly pray for us all this morning, and then I'm going to hand back to Pastor Dan. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who you've given us to lead us, to guide us, and strengthen us, Lord. We pray that we will remember to rejoice in you always, and not just when things are going well, but also in the tough and challenging seasons. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to grow through these challenges and difficulties, not in our own strength, but in your strength. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thanks for listening.
This message, I'm going to like try my best not to cry. I'm a very emotional gal. And I feel like, I'm like, I can't start by crying. It's fine. But this message is called Let Jesus Be in the Mess. I think that we just kind of came out of this series out of the cave. Who loved that series? Who enjoyed unpacking it? Getting super vulnerable and honest and just acknowledging that there can be really big things happening in life, but it doesn't disregard like the goodness and the strength of God in it all. And kind of when we were in Connect groups, we were discussing the things that came out of that season. So talking about anxiety and depression, and something that came up in one of our discussions was this whole idea of giving God our mess. We discussed how so often our fears, our disappointments, when things happen to us that are confusing or seem like God's not in, it's so easy to think life's not happening the way that we planned it. And it can leave us in a really sort of vulnerable place. That's kind of what we discussed in these last few weeks. And it can leave us desperately wanting to be closer to Jesus, but actually sometimes distancing ourselves because of the fear, because of the confusion, because of the doubt. And so I guess what I want us to think about, and when I'm referring to mess today, I mean anything from sin to confusion to disappointment to frustration, whatever it is that clouds our mind and our walk with God, that's what the mess is today. And I'm sure we can all think of a point, maybe it's now or maybe it's happened before, but have we felt that moment where life feels like it's crumbling? Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it was something that you thought was going to happen and in an instant it was taken from you. I'm just going to share for a moment on something that I would almost call a faith crisis that I had a few years ago. I don't want to cry. Yeah, it was a moment where everything that I had believed my whole entire life felt like it no longer made sense. Right. I've grown up in the church. My parents, I don't know where they are, but they're somewhere in the room here, over there, have brought me up in church. They brought me up as someone who loved God, who served in the house. I was someone who, like, since I was little, I was in my pajamas on the front seat of, like, a church pew. It smelt, like, so musky and dusty, but it was fine. But, yeah, so I grew up flourishing, knowing that God was good no matter what. But more recently, I went through a season where some people close to me began to completely deconstruct. Sorry. Deconstruct my faith. They sowed doubt and fear, and a terrifying theological battle kind of began to reign in my mind. I developed a deep and intense fear of misreading God's word, so much so I couldn't even open my Bible. I couldn't pray. I struggled because I felt like I didn't know who I was praying to. And I felt so much distance from God in that confusion. that a crazy season of anxiety and stress and worry kind of came onto me. I was so confused and I could feel myself pulling back from God. I was so worried that I had let someone's thoughts and opinions alter my understanding of who God was. I didn't want to be vulnerable with God. I didn't want to be vulnerable with other people about my doubts and my fears. I wanted to fix it because I was ashamed that I had allowed someone's thoughts to deconstruct my faith. So not only did I not take it to God, problem number one, I also didn't take it to anyone else. It was something that I kind of held onto. That mess, that stress, that worry was something that I just was like, I can figure this out. I can fix this. I can get through. And what I learned in that season is that when you don't bring God into the mess, when you keep living a life of shoving those fears, those disappointments, those worries down, we end up in a place where the enemy targets, isolates, and attacks. You're in this gap where you don't know what to do and you have no defense mechanism because you're so lost and confused. And I don't know if it's just me that went through that. It doesn't have to be theological things. It may even be a sin or a fear or a worry, but there's those seasons where you almost feel like you can't take a step. You're so fearful. You're frozen in what God is calling you to. But I truly believe, and the essence of today's message is that the power of the enemy is broken when we turn to God in our moments of weakness, failure, and fear. So you might be walking through this right now. Whatever it is, disappointment, hurt, sin, the times can be difficult. I remember for me, it was the worst. We were kind of like two years ago, just before Powerhouse Conference. And Powerhouse Conference was kind of my finish line. I was like, all right, I'm going to get to conference. God's going to like speak to me and then it'll all be done, problem solved. And who knows that God often doesn't just like tick the box that you ask him for. He actually wants us, exactly what Steve was preaching on. He actually allows us to grow and stretch and go through seasons where he solidifies our faith. And I remember we were having a ministry session for all the interns and I was like, yes, everything is going to make sense after this 30-minute session. It's all going to get figured out. And I remember everyone's like getting these incredible prophecies about their future and their life. And I'm like, I'm so ready for God to just like break down that thing. And I remember the pastor said to me, he said, Ash, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying you are safe with Jesus. And I was so angry. I was so angry with God. I was like, there was no tears. There was no big prophecy. He literally just said, I feel like the Lord is saying you are safe with Jesus. And I mulled on this really bitterly for a few days. So frustrated, kind of thinking, God, like, why wouldn't you just take me out of this season? And I'm sure we've all been there. Have you guys been in a season where you've just been like, God, why won't you just rescue this from me right now? Like, why won't you take it away? And I think in that moment, I kind of, in my little journal, I wrote down the prophecy that had been spoken. And then under it, I wrote, well, I don't feel safe. My mind was so tormented with worry and fear that I couldn't actually step into a place of trusting that God was who he said he was. Not long after that, our amazing pastors, Dan and Eb, you know, I don't know if they were praying really hard that week or what happened, but Dan just came up to me and gave me this book and it was called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And it completely changed the way I stepped into this next phase of life. You know, too often when we're confused or when we're struggling, we try to hide our fears and our anger and our disappointment from God. We think that if we present this, I guess, facade of perfection from others and God, it's what will get us where we need to go. But this season taught me that God desires to be present in the mess. He longs to hear our pain. He longs to hear our fears, our disappointments, our betrayals by someone that we trusted, the weight of our life experience, whatever it may be, God desires to be in your mess. The book says really well, it says that the Bible doesn't even sugarcoat the flaws of its heroes. Many of the Bible heroes convey a message that every human being on earth, regardless of their gifts, strengths, or talents, are vulnerable and dependent on God. This book is kind of what launched me back into understanding what giving God the mess looked like. I jumped actually into reading my word again, and not this time just flicking open to a random book. I started to study it, meditate on it, learn it, actually let it seep into my heart. And I realized the same thing. I've said it once and I'll say it again, that there is power when we turn to God in our moments of weakness, failure, and fear. So church, what mess do you need to take to God today? What mess, what weakness, what failure, what fear do you need to surrender to God? This whole book helped me get back on track. I began to read my word again, learn to be vulnerable and give my mess to God. And I know so often when you're going through crazy seasons, often we kind of point you to like the disciples and Jesus. But for some reason, I felt so pulled to the Old Testament. And Steve also shared about David today, but I'm sharing about David and then his son Solomon. So if you don't know, Steve articulated that perfectly. He was little David who killed Goliath. He was a great man of God who became the king of Israel. And, you know, the Bible says that David was a man after his own heart. And this is who I knew David to be. But as I began to study kind of from like Chronicles and Kings and Samuel, all those books, I began to realize that he too was full of mess. He lived a life full of equally godly and equally sinful decisions. But as you read Psalms, Kings, anywhere that David reflects, he almost sat in a constant state of repentance and acknowledgement of his emotions. He knew that he had mess. He knew that he had struggles. He knew that he wasn't perfect. He knew that he had made mistakes. But what differentiated his life and ultimately his calling from his son Solomon's was his ability to give it to God. There's so many scriptures in the Psalms that talk about or that you can read David. It's literally all just David being like, God, save me, help me, I'm terrible. But Psalm 55 verse 1-2, David says, listen to my prayer, O God, do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. But I will call upon the Lord and he will rescue me. You know, David was able to constantly fix his eyes on Jesus and give it to God. But his son Solomon, on the other hand, who became king after him, you know, I grew up knowing that he was the wisest man. It was a gift given to him by God. But the more that you kind of dig into Solomon's story, he initially had a deep desire to pursue Jesus, but in the end, he walks away from God. He lets his mistakes, his sin, his failure, and his weakness push him from God, creating that divide that I talked about where you get isolated and attacked. And that is the reality for Solomon in that season. And, you know, in 1 Kings 11 verse 3, it says, talks about all like the different sins and problems that went on, but it said, Solomon married many foreign women and they made him turn away from God. And by the time he was old, they had led him to worship foreign gods. The last line is what gets me though. It says, he was not faithful to the Lord his God as his father David had been. The thing that's so interesting about this is that they both had a calling. They both had mess. They both had things that they were desperately struggling with. But only one of them was able to be vulnerable enough to hand it to God and to surrender it to him. And if you think about that, right, and if you understand the way that the spiritual warfare works, if you are vulnerable with God and you believe that line, that the power of the enemy is broken when we give him our weakness, failures, and fears, it is so evident in this story of David and Solomon. And the thing with all of this and this whole story and everything that I'm trying to get down to is ultimately God just wants to be close with you. It's not about perfection. It's not about not having fears or doubts. It's about what you do with them when they come up. God desires that nothing would separate us, and that's why he sent Jesus. But we need to learn to be vulnerable with God. You know, once I kind of, there's like another verse in Psalms, I'll skip the main part, but at the end it says, See, the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth. But then David says, but I am an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love. For what you have done, I will praise you. And I will hope in your name, for your name is good. Once I got to this part of studying the word when I was in that crazy season, it kind of all started to make sense. I realized that God was safe. That thing that I wrote down at the start was just my flesh freaking out a little bit. But I actually had to learn how to be vulnerable with God. It's so easy to live a life with walls up, not ever actually surrendering. But also, we need to realize God knows us. He knows you. He knows where you're at. He knows your deepest fear. He knows your greatest concern. But sometimes it takes us offering up the mess, giving the mess to him. In that moment, I feel like my eyes were opened to the great love of God again, and that it wasn't perfection that God was looking for, but he was looking for, like David, a heart willing and open to trust God and constantly turn to him in everything. It's a classic verse, but this is the verse that I want you to take away from today. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. You will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Guys, I want you to take a second to think about that mess, that fear, that thing that you kind of keep to the side from God that you maybe haven't been vulnerable with him about before. I want you to know that God wants to walk you through it. And just like I am now on the other side of that crazy season, God will walk you through that season. I kind of explained it already, but there's just two super quick things that helped me to get through this. The first thing was we need to be honest with yourself, with God, and with others. You need to be able to firstly acknowledge that something is tough, and that doesn't disregard the goodness of God to say that. Sometimes we might even have to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to us, things that we maybe thought were fine or we had dealt with, but actually go, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to bring to you in this season? In that, we then need to be honest with God. Maybe that would look like prayer. Maybe it would look like journaling. For me, I honestly think that writing of the phrase, I don't feel safe, was probably the first time in a long time I had actually been totally honest with the Lord. The power of the enemy was broken when I turned to God in my moment of weakness, failure, and fear. And then the last thing is that we need to learn to be honest with others. You know, Steve mentioned it perfectly before, that actually calling others on board is so fundamental. Having others that can help us out and keep us accountable and ensure that we aren't doing the rough on our own. I was kind of saying before, but that gap, that space that can happen when we're in those seasons, sometimes we don't have the strength. So we need people in that sphere to help us when those things get tough. And then my last thought is, it's kind of an obvious one, but it's the biggest thing I learned out of this season was we need to spend time in God's word and prayer. Now, I'm sure we all know, yeah, Ash, that's probably the right good thing to do. But I truly had a revelation of this in that season. When we actually truly, wholeheartedly know who God is, being vulnerable with him is easy. When we are reading, learning, and understanding who God is and what his heart for us is, we can quickly learn that he is right there, willing and wanting to be close to us. So I don't want the fact that maybe you haven't read your Bible in 3 weeks, or maybe it's been longer, maybe you haven't prayed in a while. Don't let that gap stop you from stepping back into the presence of God. Don't let that fear, don't let that those lies of the enemy stop you. when it comes to the Word of God, I think that's literally the greatest thing that I got out of this season was a passion for the Word. And this verse comes up again and again, and it's so powerful, but it's Hebrews 4 verse 12. It says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So now that we've kind of thought about the mess, now that we've kind of gone, okay, maybe there is things, how are we going to give them to God? What are you going to do with this now? You know, it's so easy to sit here on a Sunday, have an awesome message from Steve and hear these things, but what do we actually do with it? Like, are we going to take them and are we going to live this out? So my question for you, and if you want to even just have a moment to think, what mess do you need to give to God? What haven't you surrendered to Him? What do you need to be vulnerable with Him this morning? You can give your disappointments to Him. You can give your fears to Him. You can give your anxieties to Him. You can give your sin to Him. His arms are wide open. And just remembering that there is power when we turn to God in our moments of weakness, failure, and fear. I just love us to take 30 seconds. Would you just close your eyes and just for a moment just think and ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, what mess do I need to bring to You today?" Thank You, God. Lord, we thank You right now, Lord, that Your heart is that we would be vulnerable with You and honest, God. Lord, that we would share our burdens, our fears with You, Lord, that You want us to be close to You. Lord, we stand against any lies that we have believed, Lord, that that gap is too big. Lord, that the confusion, that the fear, that the worry is too much for You. But God, we surrender it to You in this moment and we thank You, Lord, that You are good and that You are faithful through every circumstance. We thank You, Lord, that You see us and You love us and You chose us. And then we can come to You in every season. In Your mighty name, amen.